Kaum ein Kanada-Besucher möchte nicht mindestens einmal mit dem Zug unterwegs sein. Vorzugsweise natürlich im Gebiet der Rocky Mountains. Das ist dann wie die Bahn in der Schweiz, aber noch ein bisschen mächtiger. Und weil die meisten Besucher klaren Pfaden folgen, zuckeln sie auch von Jasper über Banff in Richtung Vancouver und Pazifik. Im Reiseradio stelle ich Ihnen jetzt mal eine Alternative vor, einen richtigen kanadischen Zug für die Einheimischen. Trotzdem mit Panoramawagen, wenn Sie es sich leisten möchten. Mit Übernachtung in the middle of nowhere und Bären entlang der Gleise und manchmal skurrilen Mitreisenden, die den Zug einfach auf freier Strecke stoppen. Den Film dazu können Sie übrigens auf der Website zu dieser Ausgabe des Reiseradios sehen. Das Gespräch jetzt hören mit Josephine Walsh von der Eisenbahngesellschaft Via Rail.
Unser Top-Thema heute: Ready for Takeoff.
So as you can hear, we are just sitting in a train and taking a railway in Canada. That's one of the child dreams as a European visitor coming to Canada. Treks in the mountains, like in Switzerland, wild rivers, endless forest, but far, 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 far away from civilization. Josephine Walsh is just sitting next to me, and she stands for three letters, for VIA. I don't know what it means, but it means, in general, the Canadian Railways. Has train ride become really just a tourist attraction in Canada?
No, actually, the Via Rail system in Canada is actually still an important part of Canada's transportation system. And on the train today that we're riding, the Skeena in particular, this train actually exists because it still services communities and people who live along the train route in the wilderness. Perhaps they're a trapper or a gold digger up in the mountains, and they need to get into town to buy supplies or go to the doctor. They have no cars here because there's no roads, planes are unable to land, and so it's the train that provides the transportation to them. And we're lucky, though, because, of course, we're using this as a trip today to see the great scenery. It's a wonderful way to see Canada, and especially parts like northern BC. But for a lot of people along here, the train is their main way of getting in and out of town.
You just mentioned the name, the Skeena train. That came from the Indians, from the First Nations, the Thin Sun people.
Shimsham.
Oh, yes. My God, I will never learn it. Yeah. And it means, I have prepared a little bit, water of the clouds. So that means raining weather all the time?
Exactly. The Skeena is the river that the train basically follows, and that's why we call this route the Skeena. River of the clouds. I think maybe it has to do with the fact that it can be quite wet up in this part of the world, though that's also what makes it very green, of course, right? But it also has to do, I think, with the clouds, the fog in the morning meeting the river, and then as the sun comes out, it rises during the day, or as the day warms up, it goes a bit harder. It sounds very dreamy, though, doesn't it? Almost romantic in a sense, yes.
Romantic is always the word from tourist professionals if they mean rain.
Yes.
So now we are heading east from Prince Rupert at the Pacific coast to the famous Jasper, about 1,200 kilometers. It's a 2 days drive, and it's not about reading, but about traveling. Mm-hmm. But you just mentioned it. Is this really a train for locals?
It exists because we have to service the local community. So if we as a company, train company VIA, did not have to service those towns and those people that lived in the remote locations, there probably would not be a passenger train service up here. But again, it's hard to think as you're sitting here and looking at this incredible scenery and looking at all the small towns we go through and hearing the stories of the people that it is an essential service. It really is a dream trip to travel along. It's for leisure.
So somebody told me behind the hand, VIA stands for very irregular arrival.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Very inaccurate arrival was another way of saying it. Exactly. When we travel on these tracks, we're not the only train on this railroad. There is also the freight trains. And it is the freight trains that take priority on this route. A lot of the times we're down to sort of one track or one lane. So if there is a freight train coming along, they get the priority. We have to move over to the side so we can ideally say, okay, this is a 6-hour journey. But by the time we wait for a few freight trains, maybe we have to pick up someone in the bush in the middle of nowhere and they want to put on their canoe or their furs that they've trapped, or they're getting off with lots of groceries and the kitchen sink to improve their cabin. That all adds to the time delay. So yeah, it's some of these routes. This is not the Deutsche Bahn that you're on by any means. You know, it's a very sort of leisure product. We're very casual about our train arrivals and departures.
Okay, the Deutsche Bahn would be happy to hear that you think the Deutsche Bahn is always on time.
Yes.
So when the locals take the train, is it because the train is faster or because the train is cheaper than to fly?
Cheaper, usually convenience. Often, too, because of the weather up here, the planes can be quite difficult. They're fogged in, or if you get a little bit of snow in the wintertime, it makes it more tricky. So they will take the train because it's an easier route. But price also, for in our economy class, which is the train carriage up front, it's not a bad price to go quite a long ways, actually.
But then we have to say, for us as a tourist, it's not the cheapness which makes us take the train. It's just the opposite. It's not a bargain to travel, isn't it?
No, the product that we're traveling in right now, our touring class, is a little bit on the pricier side. But it's, again, then it's more towards the leisure market. It's more about the enjoyment, being able to sit back, relax, really take in the scenery at a slow pace, enjoy the small communities that you go through, talk to our staff who are on board the train and hear the stories of the people who live along this way. So in a sense, it's like a cultural type experience, really. And you have your means of transportation with it also.
Can we be a little bit more precise about the prices? So what's, sure, for example, for the 2 days from Prince Rupert to Jasper?
Yeah, for Prince Rupert to Jasper, in what is called our touring class, where you have your meals included, access to the dome car so you can see the view 360 degrees, that is about $700 per person for the 2 days in touring. If you were in economy class up front, it would probably be about $250 for the 2 days. And then you just have your seat at your train and you'd have to bring your own food or buy that en route.
$450 for the food, it would be the most expensive food I will get.
It is. It's more the service and actually having the train carriage at the back, the dome carriage, to have access to the views of the 360 is definitely the advantage to being up in touring class.
Now, this train, this scene, is not very well known in Europe, maybe because it's not connecting the typical tourist point, Jasper, with Vancouver. I can imagine most Germans never heard about Prince Rupert, don't they?
You know, if they did, they probably have an interest in perhaps fishing or a grizzly bear or bear viewing. Even whale watching up here is very popular. It is definitely a more considered more remote wild location. If anybody is familiar with the BC Ferries route, what we have with a lot of visitors or tourists will come to Vancouver and then go over to Vancouver Island, go up to Port Hardy where the BC Ferries leaves from. And this route from Port Hardy into Prince Rupert is a long day, but the ferry is very good and the route is beautiful. It's what's called Canada's Inside Passage. So basically you go along the ocean way with all the little islands on the side, all the gorgeous scenery. It's a good place to see orca whales. And in the spring and the fall, the gray whales will use this as a migration route to Mexico, basically, where they winter and then come back up. And then once you get to Prince Rupert, you're on the high point. You would enjoy a couple days in the community here to do, again, fishing or bear viewing, whale watching, go to the cultural museum to see how the Tsimshian people, their culture, their history, and then take the train back down to Jasper and then back into Vancouver. So it makes a nice route, both on land and on water, the chance to see the big animals, go through, again, the small communities, meet some of the native population, and also the different ways to travel, both the boat and the train. So it's quite ideal.
So what will be the highlight on our tour, driving through bears country?
Yes, well, hopefully we'll see some bears along the way here. The engineers up front will let us know if they see anything, and then they'll radio back to the staff. You have to be pretty quick to look left or right when they tell you to see if it's going to be there. The bears aren't going to stop on the side and wave at you as we go back or past. We'll also see a lot of birds, and especially in the Prince Rupert area, the great bald eagles. There's lots of them up here. The chance to see some osprey, maybe. Later on, we may have the chance to see some black bears, some deer, some elk along the ways. There's coyotes, wolves here, though they usually move quite quickly away from the train. But then another highlight will be the small communities that we're going to go through and see, and you'll see how people still live in quite small towns here.
We already have seen, because we just stopped for a gold digger who just entered the train.
That's right. And this route, the Skeena, is quite special for that, because there are people like the gentleman's name who came on, who's the gold digger, is Steve, and he basically lives in the middle of nowhere, and when he wants to go to town about once every 6 weeks to go pick up his supplies, he literally comes down to the train track and will wave or set out a flag to let the engineer know that he wants to get on. The engine will stop, he'll climb on the train, he'll talk to people on the train, have a cup of coffee, get off at town, do his groceries, and then we drive him back up a couple days. And he's not the only person like that along this route.
And normally he's not using a tourist class, I think.
That's right.
So maybe SEMA is not the solution for the beginner in Canada. What would you recommend? Which is a must-have?
Well, one of the most classic and recognized train journeys that you can do with Via Rail is the train that we call the Canadian. And this one is very much known, or better known, in the German market for sure. Some people still call it the Transcontinental, which is what it was called in the older days. But now we call it the Canadian. And a person would travel from Vancouver to Toronto or in the opposite direction. It is a 4-night, 3-day journey that takes you right across the different sceneries, landscapes of Canada. And this train journey is also special because it's considered a classic train journey, in that when you are traveling with us, you stay on board the train in your little cabin or your berth bed. You sleep in your cabin at night. You go to the dining car to have your meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the chef is on board, and he prepares the meals in the kitchen on board the train, just as if you were in a restaurant. You still have access to the glass dome cars to look at the view. You have the chance to talk to other international visitors, but you have the chance to talk to Canadians also, because they do use this train service to go back and forth.
So many people have heard about the Rocky Mountaineer, that's frankly spoken your competitor, focused totally on the tourist.
Yes, the Rocky Mountaineer actually is a wonderful train product also. Yes, people say to us sometimes, ooh, it's another train and it does some of the same route as you. Are they a competitor? You know what? They're a great train also. It's just a different type of train. You do not sleep on board. It is a 2-day journey. It's daytime only. And you stop in Kamloops overnight and stay at a hotel. And again, a great product. But Canadians do not use this service, really. Whereas on the Canadian trip, they do. And one thing I should point out about ours, despite the fact that you sleep on board the train, you are never asleep during the good parts of the scenery. You are awake going through the mountains. You're awake, you know, when there's the big cities coming up. So you're not sleeping at those times. But, you know, I think any visitor who wants to come to Canada and takes a train trip, whether it be Rocky Mountaineer or whether it be Via Rail, they're going to enjoy it so much that they're going to want to do another trip. And I think that's very good for us because, you know, lots of people don't realize that Canada has a very good train service. And we operate year-round, too. So you can come in the wintertime and see the mountains in the snow and see the prairies in the snow. And it's very magical, actually.
And it's a better price beside
Absolutely.
That. So what's the best time for a train experience?
Lots of people like to come with us in the spring because everything is just starting to open up. There's still snow on top of the mountains, but the greenery is starting to show. There's a lot more bears closer down to the track because they're eating the grass that's opening up. Some visitors prefer not to come when school is off, so that knocks off July and August. And then again, we have a lot of people who like to come later part of September, beginning of October, because as you go into eastern Canada, this is when the fall colors are on. So you're going to see the reds of the maple trees. And those are good times to travel. Also, for a lot of businesses, including Via Rail, the pricing is a little bit better than July and August, which are high season months, definitely.
There's only one problem with a train. Because you have always the Panavision outside of the windows,
yes.
You never ever have time for reading a book.
I know. And I think we're all optimistic. We all come on the train thinking, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But it is really just about relaxing, enjoying the scenery, talking to a few people on the train, and just enjoying your own space and your own thoughts, really. Yes. While enjoying that incredible scenery. Exactly.